Είναι τα podcast της Athens Voice. And along with it has come a new freedom of
expression. Hello, my name is Miss Aura, and I'm the head of DCN Africa, and I'm very honored to be moderating Kyriakes του Kosmou today, and I am with Christos and Nikos at the Thessaloniki International Media Academy, and we have two incredible guests with us today, Dimitrios Bouros and Fanis Papathanas.
Oh,
wow!
Congrats!
Ευχαριστώ, ευχαριστώ. So this is a fantastic podcast today, an episode, and we're going to be focusing on this incredible Summer Academy being held in Thessaloniki 2022. And this is number what? How many of these?
Number six.
This is number six. Okay, so it's the sixth thesum, and we're going to be talking a bit about the event and trying to just sum up what are we talking about and what do we hope to achieve through this awesome event. Nikos, how are you today? Christos, how are you?
Okay. Would you like to say myself in Greek if you had a difficulty with Papathanasiou?
Let's try me, try me.
Franco Nicolopoulos.
You have to say it a little bit. It's a little bit slower.
Okay. So we may now go to the questions.
Okay. Okay, all right. So maybe let's just start off with what are you talking about during this Summer Academy? What has been the focus of your presentation?
The focus of the presentation was a bad practice of media during an incident in the Greek-Turkish relations in 1996. But before I go to that, I want to thank all the Nikos especially. And I realized here how important and how well organized is this Summer Academy. It's the sixth Summer Academy, it's my first one that I'm here. And being here, I realized how much job Nikos and his team has done in order to organize this. And I wanted to congratulate him. He's good friend, but this is something that I'm very proud of him. He's done a great job, Nikos. So, going back to your question, the EMEA incident was an incident between Greece and Turkey when the two countries brought closed the war in 1996. But I focused on the bad role of the media before that. The role of the media is to present it. The developments when they occur, but the Greek media and the Turkish media on this issue, on this particular issue, played a negative role. So they played a role in creating this event. First, Greeks from Kalymnos went and put a flag in the EMEA island. The Turkish journalists, I don't know if it was journalists or not, from Millet supposedly. Went with a helicopter to this islet and put a Turkish flag there. So this is the way this crisis started. The other thing about bad practices and how in very sensitive issues, because it's a national security issue, the Greek private channels had live reports during, let's say, the ships going out, going to fight with the Turkish ships. So I'm saying that in some security, in some crisis, the media had to play an important role and to be more according to the rules. So ethic-wise and otherwise, I think they did a bad job. And after that, after the diffusion of the crisis with the intervention of the United States, the two sides brought journalists from Greece and Turkey and sat down and said, okay, I'm going to have established a channel, and in the case of something comes up, we will be together discussing things and how to diffuse and how to organize better. For some years this worked, but after 26 years, there is no cooperation, there are no channels between the two media. From the United States, from Turkey and Greece, and this is a very negative thing.
Okay, Okay, so before we dive deep, I think let's just first establish what everyone is talking about, at least from today, and then we're going to dive a little bit deeper into your areas of focus. Dimitrios, what was your focus for Thesum this year?
My focus was on the visual and narrative representation of war, conflicts, and humanitarian crisis at large. And it's an excellent opportunity due to this multidisciplinary environment created by Dr. Panagiotou and Dr. Frank Nicolopoulos, this Thesum, bringing students from around the globe with different notions, different ages, different experience, different knowledge environment, if I may say. And this interaction can really help, because the role of the academia is not just the syllabus. The role of the academia, the role of the universities to create the knowledge. And especially nowadays, we are facing these challenges in the media environment, as we live in an era derived by the combined notion, if it bleeds, it leads, which is a famous motto in the editing rooms we all know about. And the nowadays, I title it, we are all photographers, because everyone is carrying a cell phone and is able, she or he, to broadcast his opinion, his preconsumption, because in most of the cases are preconsumption and preassumption, derived out of research, fact-checking, cross-checking, and also with the absence of history and memory, which is critical in this level. So we are all confronted in this new media framework that at the end negatively affects both accuracy and transparency, and we have to protect this thing. And this is a tool. I consider this Thesum, this seminar, this academy as a tool in order to reshape the environment that is moving too fast, which is another factor.
Okay, so the theme for this year for Thesum, I believe, is new trends in digital media. So maybe let's hone in on that. In the context, Fannies, of your discussion, what role do you think new media has played in terms of bad practices in journalism, especially when it comes to sensitive situations and conflict resolution? What has been the impact
the
from
media
your perspective?
Can play a negative role, it can play a chaotic role. Especially social media that are not controlled, let's say in a crisis, if you have the same incident today, with the social media today, it could be a chaotic situation that brought maybe faster the two countries to a conflict. So that's why I said that I remember like 2 months ago, former Prime Minister of Britain, Mr. Blair, said that thank God that during my presidency, my leadership there, we didn't have social media. So if in a case of conflicts, in the IMEA crisis, if we had an IMEA crisis today, it could be a chaotic situation with negative results. So we have to, I guess, see how we can not control, we have to bring together established media that have already institutionalized the way social media work, and we have to create platforms that will approach young people, the young generation, to see and to get the information from established media like BBC, for example, New York Times. This is a trend, and this is the way international media doing the research, how they will create platforms for the younger generation that in a case of crisis or during the daily activities, they will go in a case of crisis to established media to get the information in order to check if the information is accurate or not.
Okay, and Dimitrios, in your line of work, everyone is a photographer. As long as you have a smartphone, you can capture an image and call yourself a photographer. And do you think the art of photojournalism is, at risk of extinction because of just how easily accessible it is, and people don't actually follow any, rules in quotations when it comes to photography and it comes to storytelling visually.
That's correct. In a single word, I can reply definitely. But we have to understand the current framework of the media today, the way the new media, as we call them. We enter in the area of the transjournalism, or if I may say, convergent journalism, that the journalist is carrying the message, is in a way is acting like a single man orchestra. He has to do the stills, the motion, the graphics, the stats, and everything. And worse than that, on top of that, if I may say, is to promote it, to derive the desirable click. So, in short, the news now created by the audience, not by the media, is the reader that opens a laptop or a cell phone or whatever, I mean, demanding some news. So the media are obliged to create the news, to bring the news, so at the end they create the news. And I was shocked by an image taken in the inauguration ceremony in the capital, January the 7th, 2021 in Washington DC, where a bunch of people confiscated, grabbed all the equipment of Associated Press and started yelling in front of that before putting on fire, "We are the news, we are the news now." So this is what we have to protect. And we, as a gatekeepers of the truth, okay, it's a big word, it like, sounds like a buzzword, but at the end it's the reality for me, this is the role. Firstly, not to put ourselves in front of the camera or in front of the text, becoming the stars, because we are not the stars. And second on that, to study carefully, to carry the knowledge, and in this, in both ways. First of all, not to lose the meaning, not to understand, and second, to get the confidence and the trust of the people we are communicating, so to derive what is desirable, the truth. And the causes, if we talk about a humanitarian crisis or a war or a devastation, we have to understand the reasons that drove that, not what is just happening now, not to focus, as I said before, on if it bleeds, it leads, it means it will sell. We have to spend something more, and this is what we have to pass to these people, that they are starting now their career.
Right, right. Nikos, I'd like to pull you in.
Yes. Firstly, I would like to thank everyone for being part of an initiative that we have started with Christos, that it was actually materializing an, a vision that we had in order actually to create an international meeting point where current issues and future challenges for media, communication and journalism will be discussed. Both Vanis and Dimitris have underlined the important issues that characterize today's media environment: segregation, audience-centric, and also technology-driven. But what we have to have still in mind, it is that what it is needed, it is more investment in educational resources, while journalists will approach their work in an interdisciplinary approach. They will include other elements. But most importantly, I would say that we have actually to underline the new necessities that should be included on the way that they are doing their work. And this is, and among these ones, it is this type of podcast that we are more than happy to have you as a moderator.
Thank you very much for having me as a moderator, Christos.
Nikos has said everything, but just think about this, you know? How new will be the trends next year? Mm. So I think year to year we should have new trends, one, new trends, two, new trends. You know, this is something that I'm thinking always about. You know, it's very difficult to catch up.
But you know, it is important to discuss some things that we leave behind. For example, ethics of journalism. This is what it is being discussed in the new book of Christos regarding European Union and this public diplomacy, and also some ethical questions.
Yes, but I think that what we need to do as journalists and as teachers, academics or whatever, you know, is we need to bring to the forefront, to the, you know, to publicity, journalistic initiatives that do not see the light of the day. And believe me, around the globe, those are thousands, which make a difference. You know,
this is what we wanted actually to do.
Not all journalists are associated or work for a major media organization or establishment.
Yeah.
You have many journalists, you know, who operate quietly and with respect to the basic idea of journalism, which is, you know, to collect and verify facts. And I think we will see more of this in the future. You know, there is a need for, you know, more qualitative, if you wish, and balanced information. Okay, so I can, but not only dream, you know, that young people like you, as I hear you are...
And us,
yes.
Young at heart.
Who is the head of DCN in Africa. So you mean it is the digital communication network. Okay, make this clear. Nikos, I think he is the president, yes?
Yes.
For how many years? Is there any constitutional... Anyways, but... I think
is he going to get any elections or not?
I think we need to make this public, okay, the initiatives, people around the neighborhood. And since we have mentioned DCN, would you like to tell us something about DCN and in particular what you are doing in Africa?
Okay, well, in terms of talking deeply about DCN Global, I'll leave that to Nikos. But in terms of the digital communication network, we're still very much in our infancy.
But tell us about you, where you come from, because the audience wants to learn about
where
you.
Where are you from?
Where are you from?
Okay.
Tell me the way you came in Athens.
Because
in Thessaloniki, in Thessaloniki.
As Nikos said, one of the major objectives, aims of the system is to its international dimension.
Mm.
To bring young people from all over the world together, to listen to each other, to discuss with each other. And you are from Africa, so we. Mm. We are trying to challenge the, you know, the Eurocentric, West-centric approach to journalism, okay?
Right.
And I think you should have something to say.
I do.
For
I
our
have
audience,
something
yes.
to say.
Yes.
So I'm primarily a listener, although I do speak every now and then. Like I said in the beginning, my name is Aura. My surname is Kawanzaruwa. I come from Zimbabwe. I'm 32 years old. My history is very, what can I say? I'm multi-talented, I'm a multi-potentialite. So I've worked in media, specifically in TV. I started off in TV as a producer, as a TV producer. I moved into radio as a radio presenter. So I had a 3-hour show on national radio. I've worked for, we only have 3 radio stations in our country. So I've worked for all 3 radio stations. I've worked with state media, I've worked with private media, so I've had a lot of opportunity to see the different approaches to telling the truth, in quotes, and to storytelling in general. I've also worked in South Africa, in Botswana, in Kenya, and in Ghana, and also gives me sort of a very pan-African approach to storytelling. And also just to interacting with different cultures and different medias. At the moment, I'm now working primarily in education as well as in technology. So I work in, I focus on the fourth industrial revolution and its impact on African economies and communities. And then education, I work with children between the ages of 4 to 12, and I'm a school principal.
Wow.
Yes, I am. I'm a school principal of 2 schools in my country. Mm-hmm. So. That's a little bit about me and how I ended up here. Was obviously through Nikos, through my professor. Although I'm still trying to be his student. I'm still trying to learn as much as I can from Nikos. And I found out about the Digital Communication Network. It was in 2018 when we had an event in Johannesburg, the first DCN Africa event. From there, we formed what we call almost like an interim board. So the first sort of group of all the participants, we came together and we started trying to develop structures. We're still in the process of finalizing our structures and developing something. As you know, the continent of Africa is very large. in a lot of countries to consider and try to coordinate, but hopefully by next year we'll be a lot more established and a lot more stable, hoping to have another event possibly next year as well. But we have been focusing on webinars and outreach and networking initiatives that just allow us to grow our network a little bit more. We have mostly journalists within our network, but we also work with media professionals and people who are into the digital space like the metaverse. Also, like our journalists, some of them work for like String for international media organizations, so like CGTN and Al Jazeera and BBC. Mm-hmm. So it's a very sort of broad perspective that we're trying to offer. And I think one of the biggest challenges that come with trying to set up a network like the Digital Communication Network in Africa is the fact that as much as we're all from the same continent, we're all very different. And I've come to learn through a lot of deep conversations with a lot of deep conversations with a good friend of mine and colleague, Diana Filmon, and I've come to understand that Europe is not as I thought it was. I always had an impression that Europe is just one big, happy, united family. I've come to learn that even within Europe, there's a lot of different cultures, a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different styles towards storytelling, and it's very similar in Africa. It's also the same, but I think we're going to have a really amazing organization once, you know, we've really found our feet and we're fully established. But in terms of DCN Global, I'm going to hand over to mon président, who can share a little bit more about what digital communication is.
DCN Global, it is actually what Thessaloniki International Media Summer Academy is, bringing people from different disciplines, different approaches, different countries and regions. It is actually about celebrating the difference that unites us. Actually, it's about actually bringing together different type of experience, but with the same goal: to enrich our experience, to change, and to create. This is what I think this organization is about, and I'm really honored and happy to be together with such a good group. But I'm really honored as well for having this idea and initiative with Christos when we started. That turns out to be something very helpful and something that people enjoy it, because at the very end, this is what we aim at.
Listen, as the European Union says, we are united in diversity, you know. But it is just an example of what I was telling you earlier, you know, of what is happening, you know, of what people don't know what is happening. And there are many initiatives like this, and this is, I think, initiatives like this will make the difference, because they, if you wish, in a society or in a world which is turbulent, which is polarized, you know, and everything is weaponized, okay, we operate as a security valve, which will make the difference when something really bad goes wrong. This is my belief. And this is why we invest in this. Mm.
Dimitris, you want to jump in on that?
Mm. I'd like to come back on something marvelous that you said. I mean, I would like to comment on your perception towards Europe, that what you said before, how you consider us?
One big happy family.
Exactly. We are a family, actually. We are a family, and we have to understand that within the family exist tensions, even fights and even hostilities. And this happens, I mean, in natural life. This can happen in a family. We have to understand, and I would like to add that the importance of history, that we must not ignore, we are not allowed to ignore the history of how Europe developed in a parallel, because what is Europe and what is, even in a closer section, the European Union now is a fusion of the nations that they experienced in the First Industrial Revolution and experienced the Renaissance, while there is a big part of that that was under the Ottoman Empire with totally different norms and structure in the society. The different culture, also the melting points of changing our borders through, I mean, the last 500 years, if we look back, we have a continuous and keep changing our borders. All these tensions must be resolved in the way that Christos just described and move ahead, because there is no other way. There is no other way. We have a world that is united through the information technology, and at the same time, sometimes we are looking back, closing the eye in the state-city, in the city-state notion. And this is really the main risk for me. And we have to utilize the technology in favor of that. And I'm closing with the marvelous example of how the information technology handled the recent pandemic of the COVID-19, and that with the transfer of the technology in the fast pace of the information, that how fast we develop vaccines. And at the same time, we utilize this technology for the cares of the society through the wrong use in social media and in other actions.
Yeah.
There are families and families. You have families that are Trump-orientated.
Mm-hmm.
We are not in that direction. We don't have the same orientation. We are families, but in different ways.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
Nice family, the European family.
Yeah.
Even though I'm often criticizing European Union, Brussels, the way they deal some issues, like the refugees, I was very disappointed.
We all do, we all criticize the European Union.
The way for different crises.
The debt crisis.
Yeah, they don't take decisions quickly, they're very slow. But at the end, they find through compromises the word that characterizes the way the European Union works. Through compromising, they find ways in order to make small steps. I would like the European Union to make more further steps in issues like political, military. No, they make small steps, but it's a nice family, and you feel nice being in this family.
Mm.
On the other hand, I like always in my shows to talk about the behind the scenes thing. It's very nice for the audience to know that you from Zimbabwe came through Qatar, and we are here in a kitchen at the Cisco facility, and you're doing this small podcast with four men in a small kitchen.
With no air conditioning.
In Thessaloniki.
Are the layers. Just describe the layers of the society.
Okay,
the same way. The same way is European Union layering. We have the local interest of local governments, municipalities or prefectures, the governments of the countries, the states that consist European Union, and then we have the model of the bureaucracy that we accepted and we developed because it fits in our
voluntarily.
Style. Voluntarily.
Yeah,
voluntarily.
The families have two tendencies. They want to protect their own states. At the same time, they also want to be extrovert.
Mm.
They want to participate in activities outside their family. And it is this balance, as Vanis was saying, that has allowed, that has restricted the European Union, but at the same time it has also allowed it to move forward.
Mm.
You know, people tend to forget two things, that history has a lot of history. Europe has a lot of history.
Deep history.
Deep. Tony Judd. I advise you to read his books.
Excellent.
Okay? And the second thing is, you have to see this in what I call between space and time, you know? And what Europe has achieved in these last 60 years.
Memory is important.
Yes.
Most important factor. Otherwise, we will be like the family closed in our rooms and protecting our rooms as the kids are doing inside the family house.
But despite the fact that we are talking about Europe, I am a firm supporter of the idea, because, you know, I'm an international global politics professor, you know,
we tend to view our the world only through our own perspective.
Yes.
And our own perspective is mainly Western-centric, okay? We need to, in global politics, and especially in global academia, you know, we need to have more of the African perspective, more of the Asian perspective, more of the Euro-Asian perspective.
Yeah, not to be closed in our cage.
That's very important.
You know, I like that you said that, because as we wrap up, one of my favorite, I don't know how many times I say this in every event, that's my favorite proverb of all time. I think it's a Swahili proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So, and I think that's, in summary, I feel like that's what we're doing at Thesa. We want to grow. We want to grow with the world. I don't think journalism will never die. Storytelling will never die, you know, but it's changing. And history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes. So we learn. We learn from history and we adapt from the present as we prepare for the future. And if we're going to try and do that in our own little spheres, alone, only as Europeans, only as Asians, only as Africans, without actually coming together and sharing thought in such a diverse situation, I feel like we're not going to go very far. We're probably going to move very quickly in our own little individual spaces, but we're not going to go very far. So it was.
And on this universal world and the way on issues like journalists and the new trends and the, how we're going to solve the issues and how we're going to move forward on some issues like journalism and the problems, we need views from every corner of the world. So you need the views of Africa, the views of Asia, the views of the Americans, the views of the Europeans that could contribute and help us to solve issues.
Exactly. And I must say, Nikos and I have been doing this podcast for almost 2 years. We are on the 50th, somewhere, I think, episode. This podcast, this discussion today, was the most interesting that I've had in the last 2 years.
I do agree, but I have a question.
Very good.
Yes. We're very glad to be part of this.
Yes.
Are we open in studying history? This is one A of my question. This is a critical question, and we just pass over. And another critical one B, in order to complete my question, do we have access to history? Because we are talking about, we are here in the kitchen, as Christos pointed out, or Fanny's, excuse me, pointed out critically. But we are in the kitchen room of a technological hub in Thessaloniki, Greece, in a democratic society. We must not forget that around the globe there are a lot of autocratic and totalitarian regimes that prevent the access to the sources and to the history. And worse than that, there is history that is manipulated, controlled, in a way to fit and support the continuation of these autocratic and totalitarian regimes. And I think this is a critical question to Africa, because our perception is to accept Africa as a terrain for war and conflicts.
Mm.
We had the wars in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, in Rwanda, in North Africa in the 90s, not in 19th century, in the 90s, and we tend to ignore them. And worse than that, we never learn history out of that.
Mm.
And the critical point in the war, closing with that, is wars have no memory. And they're waiting until the time there are no mouths to describe, to talk about that, and not having ears willing to listen on that, and then they are coming back with another name and another face to devour what they left behind.
Yeah.
And your role, I think, at this moment are really critical to bring Africa into the discussion and to bring the sources of history and liberate from any autocratic and authoritarian control.
So back in Zimbabwe, you should have all your you should do all your reading and podcasts in a kitchen that's available.
I think so.
Because, in this situation here, something is cooking. You know, in this kitchen, something is cooking.
Something
positive is cooking out of this thism and this gathering together and this podcast, something cooked.
Yes.
Something good cooked.
Yeah.
So it's
well,
not.
We can go on for hours.
I would say baking.
Excellent. Excellent.
It's hot here, and I think as we're wrapping up, thank you so much to our listeners for listening. Thank you so much for so graciously allowing me to moderate this conversation. A random Zimbabwean, and. Four Greeks sat in the kitchen. It feels like an anecdote.
I should also mention that my son Andreas
is
right behind, listening to us.
Yes,
he's part of this conversation. I hope he has learned something.
Hopefully,
yes.
Hopefully. And in closing, I think to just touch on what Demetrios was saying. You know, there's another proverb that says the story. The story of the hunt will always belong to the hunter and not the hunted.
Correct.
So
and especially for the younger generation.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we need to tell our stories. We need to be more vocal. We need to speak up and document everything we think of. Thank
like
you.
Like the recent story that Netflix documented from Rwanda, I don't know if you saw, with three or four girls that were locked in their house to be protected?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the story?
No, I have not.
Mm-hmm.
We need to include the link. You'll have to include the link to
the
name of the documentary so that we can all watch and listen. But this has been great. This
thank
has been
so
such
much.
An honor.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Especially the great metaphor that we're in the kitchen. Usually in kitchen we're serving food and here we're serving ideas.
Ήταν ένα podcast από την Athens Voice. Μπορείτε να ακούσετε τα podcast της Athens Voice στο athensvoice.gr και στο Spotify, στο Apple Podcast και το Google Play Music.